Good morning. It's great to be with you this morning and to have this opportunity to share with you. I have to say right at the beginning this morning, thank you for the worship team for leading us into the presence of the Lord and just sensing His presence here this morning. I also want to mention how much I respect your pastor and appreciate his ministry. I think you already know that, how blessed you are, but a man of God who is a servant of God and gives of himself sacrificially. I'm amazed at the work that he does. And as I meet people out in the community, how often his name comes up, of people that he's ministered to, lives that he's touched as he serves the Lord. So I am grateful for that. Pastor Jim asked me if I would share just a little bit with you this morning about my ministry as a chaplain at Lakewood Health System. So I'm going to do that. And then we're going to get into the Word this morning and take a look at what the Lord has for us in the Scriptures. As a chaplain at Lakewood Health System, I serve in a variety of different ways, basically seeking to provide spiritual support and encouragement and help for people who are obviously going through some very difficult times in their lives. I minister up at the hospital with our inpatients there, visit as many as I can there. I work with our hospice team, so I do a lot of visits in homes, working with hospice, those patients who have been given a prognosis of 6 months or less to live. And so I work not only with the patients, but with their families as well, providing encouragement and support for them. I work with our palliative care team, which is a team that ministers to people who are going through some challenging illnesses, long-term illnesses, difficult things that are life-changing, life-altering, and so we try to provide some spiritual encouragement and support for those patients and their families as well. I do ministry at the care center, visit residents there, do some services there at the Pines and the Manor as well. And so they keep me busy, which I enjoy and appreciate. And it's amazing to me the opportunities that you have to share Christ with people who are facing some very difficult things. And obviously I encounter a lot of people who have a very strong faith in the Lord, and you come alongside and encourage them in that faith and support them in that. But I also encounter people who maybe for one reason or another have become angry, bitter, have turned their back on God, and doors open at times to share Christ with them. And I've had the privilege of praying with many to receive Christ as their Lord and Savior. And I rejoice in that and am grateful for that privilege. And then you do encounter a person here and there that is resistant right up until the very end. And those are very difficult situations to try to minister and to step in and come alongside them. But I counted a privilege to serve in that capacity, and I'm grateful for the opportunity. I was a pastor for 10 years in Verndale, and so I know a few people. It feels like I'm right at home here this morning. I see a number of familiar faces of people that I've known in a variety of different settings along the way. And so it's great to see all of you this morning and to have this opportunity to share with you. I'm going to share from 1 Peter chapter 1 this morning, if you'd like to open your Bibles with me. 1 Peter chapter 1, I'm going to read verses 1 through 5 this morning. 1 Peter chapter 1 is one of my favorite passages in Scripture. The theme of this chapter is the grace of God. We've just been singing about it. And this passage emphasizes God's grace, and everything that we have from God is because of His grace. It's not because we've earned it. It's not because we deserve it. It's His grace showering us with blessings. And so that's what we're going to look at this morning. 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning with verse 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to God's elect, strangers in the world, scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through the sanctifying work of the Spirit, for obedience to Jesus Christ and sprinkling by His blood, grace and peace be yours in abundance. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. A number of years ago, before Europe went to the euro, a British pastor received £100 that he was to pass on to another minister who was struggling financially and going through a very difficult time and was not being adequately supported. The pastor, thinking that that was too much money to send in the mail all at once, decided to send £5 with a note attached, more to follow. And so he mailed the £5 with that note. A few days later, he sent another £5 with that same note attached, more to follow. And a third, and a fourth, and a fifth, and so forth. The pastor who was receiving that money was surprised and overjoyed every time he opened the mail, he saw the money, and especially when he read that note, more to follow. As I think of that story, I think of God's blessings for you and me. Every blessing that God gives to us comes with a note attached, more to follow. It's like God says to us, I forgive you of all your sins, and there's more to follow. I give you spiritual victory over every spiritual foe, and there's more to follow. I guide you throughout your life with my eye, and there's more to follow. I hold you in the hour of death, and even then, there's more to follow. In fact, in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7, the Apostle Paul writes, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. Did you hear that? In the coming ages. Not just in this life. Not just the blessings we receive here and now, but God is going to display the riches of his grace throughout all eternity. In other words, when we enter into our eternal inheritance and we see Jesus Christ face to face and we are like him because we see him as he is, even then it comes with a note attached, more to follow. And throughout all eternity, that same note is attached to every blessing that God gives to us. There's more to follow. It never ends. There's no limit to his supply. So often as humans, we get focused on this world and the things of this world, and I'm reminded every day how temporary this life is and how brief our time is here on earth. As believers in Jesus Christ, we need to set our affection on things above, not on things on the earth, and remember that there is always more to follow. We do not have to face death with fear. We close our eyes on earth, we open them in heaven, in the presence of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And when we open them in heaven, he showers us with his blessings, and he does so throughout all eternity. It never ends. As we look at 1 Peter chapter 1 this morning, there are five blessings that are mentioned here that I want to highlight this morning. And every one of those blessings comes with a note attached. More to follow. The first blessing is the fatherhood of God. If you look at verse 3, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Every spiritual blessing that we receive from God is dependent on this blessing. God becoming our Father through Jesus Christ. Some people think that God is the Father of all. That is not what Scripture teaches. He is the Creator of all. But he becomes our Father when we place our faith in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. When we trust in him, at that moment we are adopted into the family of God. We become his children, his sons and daughters. God becomes our Father. Describing God as Father is a distinctly Christian description of God. If you read through the Old Testament, the Israelites described God as their creator, and as their Redeemer. He had redeemed them out of Egypt and brought them to the Promised Land. He was their Creator and their Redeemer. But God as Father is something that we see in the New Testament. He is the Father of the incarnate Son. And He becomes our Father when we place our faith in Jesus Christ and we are adopted into His family, co-heirs with Christ, sharing the blessings of the family. And so the first great blessing that Peter describes for us here is that of the fatherhood of God. We are His children, His sons and daughters. What an awesome privilege to know that we can come into God's presence, not as a distant deity who's far off, but as our loving Father, who loves His children, who cares for them, who watches over them, who protects them. Some of you may have a negative image of Father when you think of your earthly father, but I want you to know that God as our Heavenly Father is perfect. He is without flaw. And He loves us with an eternal, unconditional love, and He always does what is right and best for us as our Father. And so you can trust Him. You can love Him. You can draw near to Him. You don't have to draw back in fear because of the grace of God manifested in Jesus Christ, who died on the cross to pay for all of our sin so that we can enter into the family and know God as our Father. The second blessing that is mentioned here is the new birth. Peter calls attention to several facts about the new birth. Look at verse 3 again. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. It is God the Father who does the begetting. We become His children because of His work, and it's because of His abundant mercy. The Scripture talks about God lavishing His love on us, lavishing His grace on us. He lavishes us with His mercy. God is not stingy. And here we see His abundant mercy. Mercy suggests that there's a need, and there's a willingness and an ability to meet that need. Think of the story that Jesus told of the Good Samaritan. A man had been traveling from Jerusalem down to Jericho, and as he was traveling, he was attacked and beaten and robbed, and he was left for dead alongside the road. A priest came by, a religious leader. You know, you look at the Scriptures and what Jesus had to say about religious leaders of His day, and it's not very impressive. It's not very good. Sad to say, sometimes that's true in our day too. And that's why when you see someone who is faithfully serving the Lord in a leadership position, hold them in high esteem. Respect them and their leadership. Here, the priest sees this man beside the road and he passes by on the other side. He had the ability to meet the need. He did not have the willingness. And then a Levite comes by, another religious leader. He too sees the man laying beside the road and he too passes by. He had the ability to meet the need, but not the willingness. The Samaritan comes by. The Jews hated the Samaritans. They despised them. They looked down on them. They were considered less than human by the Jews. He sees this Jewish man laying beside the road and he stops. He ministers to his physical needs. He places him on his animal to transport him to an inn where he provides lodging for him and food and cares for the man. That man had the willingness, not only the ability, but the willingness to meet the need. That is mercy consummated. And now we think about God and our relationship with Him. God has not only the ability, but the willingness to meet our need. And so we come to Him as sinners, separated from God, having gone our own way, having lived in rebellion, His enemies in terms of our attitude and behavior. But God reaches out to us in the person of His Son and demonstrates His love for us, that Christ dies for us on the cross of Calvary to pay for our sin. And one of the things that we need to grasp, not only intellectually, but emotionally in our heart, is the fact that all our sin has come under the blood of Jesus Christ. When God looks at us who have placed our faith in Jesus Christ, He no longer sees our sin. He sees the righteousness of Christ. That is our standing before God. Not because we earned it or deserved it, but because of God's abundant mercy. We have become new creatures in Christ. The old has passed away. Behold, all things have become new in Jesus Christ. That's the new birth. Not based on our performance. Not based on us being good enough. But because of His love for us and His abundant mercy, His ability and willingness to meet our need. You have been washed white as snow. If you have placed your faith in Christ, all your sin, past, present, and future, has come under the blood of Christ. You are clean today. And therefore, you can come into the presence of God with confidence because you come not based on your merit, but based on what Christ did for you. The fatherhood of God, the new birth. They are two blessings that God has given to us, but they come with the note attached. More to follow. The third blessing is the resurrection of Christ. Look at verse 3. Again, the last part of that verse. In His great mercy, He has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. This point flows out of the new birth. It's all tied to the finished work of Christ. He died on that cross. He was buried. But the good news of the gospel is that on the third day, Jesus rose from the dead. The grave could not keep Him. He triumphed over Satan, sin, and death. And the wonderful news for you and me is that when we place our faith in Christ, we are joined to Him and we share in His victory. And Jesus says, because I live, you too shall live. That is the good news that I proclaim on a daily basis to people who are facing the reality of their own mortality and the fact that they are facing a very real prospect that they don't have long in this world. The good news is, because Jesus lives, we too can live in Christ. It's being attached to Him through faith. Because He lives, we too shall live. Now, the Apostle Peter was writing to people who lived at a time that was characterized by abject hopelessness. It was a time of prosperity for many people. It was a time of wealth for many. And yet it was a time of hopelessness. Listen to what one author wrote about that time period. It says, the gift of this living hope can be appreciated only by those who know the bondage of fear which held the pagan masses of that day captive. Those who were economically and politically well-situated were surfeited with the fed-up life of luxury or unsatisfied with the aimless and bankrupt pursuit of meaningless philosophical speculation. They knew nothing of real hope or joy or peace. While Greco-Roman civilization abounded with beauty, with courage, and with intellectual vigor, it was indeed a world without hope. Old age was faced with fear. Life was continually threatened with misfortune and tragedy, and early death was to be desired above a life that at last had to end. Sounds somewhat familiar as you look at the society that we live in and the culture that we minister to. People all around us who are living in fear, desperately trying to hang on to life, people who lack hope for the future. We have good news to proclaim. A message of hope. The resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's a living hope. There's a difference between a dead hope and a living hope. An example of a dead hope would be this. I could hope that tomorrow morning I'll go to the mailbox and there'll be a check for $1 million there for me. I can hope that all I want, but it's a dead hope. It's not going to happen. That's wishful thinking. Many people have wishful thinking. They hope things get better. They hope things turn out okay. What we have in Jesus Christ is a living hope. A living hope is characterized by confidence because it is based on the promise of one whom we can trust. God has promised the resurrection of the dead. God has promised eternal life to us. God does not lie. God does not break His promises. Therefore, we have a living hope. When I talk about heaven, it's not, I hope I go to heaven. I know I'm going to heaven. Not because of what I've done, not because of any merit of my own, but because of Jesus Christ and what He's done for me on the cross of Calvary. So often I hear people who profess faith in Jesus Christ, who claim to be Christians, and they'll say to me, I hope I'll go to heaven. If you are in that place this morning, I want you to know that the Scriptures have been written that we might know that we have eternal life. In 1 John chapter 5 it says, and this is the record, God has given to us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son does not have life. These things have I written unto you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you might know that you have eternal life. Not wishful thinking. Not, I hope so. It's settled. Based on the finished work of Jesus and the trustworthiness of God the Father, we can know and settle that issue once for and for all. And so if you're here today, and you're thinking, I hope I'll go to heaven, and you're living with that uncertainty, I would just encourage you today to resolve that issue. Place your trust in Jesus and what He's done for you, and know that you have eternal life through faith in Him. The fatherhood of God. There's more to follow. The new birth. There's more to follow. The resurrection of Christ and that living hope that we have through Him. And even then, there's more to follow. The fourth blessing I want to mention this morning is the eternal inheritance. Look at verse 4. And into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you. Never perish, spoil, or fade. It's incorruptible. The possessions that we have in this life are subject to corruption. Any of you ladies who have silver or copper items in your home, you know that it's a constant battle to keep them from becoming tarnished. Not so with our eternal inheritance. It never perishes. It never becomes stained. It is pure. No evil touches it. And it never fades. If any of you have ever purchased a brand new automobile, you know that when you drive that car off the lot, it never quite looks the same as it did before you purchased it. It begins to fade, and in a few short years, it's ready for the junk pile. It doesn't last. Not so with our eternal inheritance. What we receive from God never perishes, it never spoils, it never fades. It lasts forever. I think all of us have a longing to hold on to good memories, good times, good experiences. But in this life, they're fleeting. They come and go. And life marches on and things change. And sometimes when things change in this life, it's hard. It's painful. It cuts us to the core. A couple of months ago, my sister-in-law, who is 57 years old, was diagnosed with terminal cancer. Shocking for us in that experience. Unexpected. We knew something was wrong. We didn't know that the cancer was as advanced as it is. The wonderful news is that my sister-in-law has a very strong faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I marvel at her peace in the midst of this journey. And I'm so thankful for that. And it helps us through that journey. But it's another reminder of how temporary this life is, how brief our time is on earth. I want to encourage you that our eternal inheritance has been laid up for us in heaven. It's waiting for us. The Bible says we are co-heirs with Christ. If any of you have ever received an inheritance, you know again that inheritances are temporary. They come and go. They don't last. This inheritance is eternal, and it's been laid up for us in heaven by God, and we can look forward to it. The fatherhood of God, more to follow. The new birth, more to follow. The resurrection of Christ, more to follow. An eternal inheritance laid up for us in heaven. And even then, there's more to follow. The fifth blessing that I want to mention this morning is the keeping power of God. Look at verse 5. Who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. Shielded by God's power. Kept by God. The picture here is that as we travel through this life, as we journey with all the twists and turns of life and all of the uncertainty, God goes before us, He is behind us, and He surrounds us. We are kept by His power. His hand is upon us. He holds us in His hands. He is there to strengthen us and support us and help us on our journey. Through everything that we go through, we can know that He is the solid rock. The psalmist describes it in this way, that even if the earth gives way beneath my feet, even if the mountains disappear, I still stand on solid ground. The Almighty God is keeping me, watching over me, caring for me. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, the Apostle Paul says, being confident of this very thing, that He which began a good work in you will bring it to completion in Christ Jesus. What a wonderful promise. We never know what life has in store for us, the challenges that we will face. But as believers in Christ, two things we need to remember. The trials are temporary. They last for just a brief time. It may seem, even if it's our whole life, even if we are born into adversity and live with adversity our whole life, it's a short time in light of eternity. So we need to remember that. Our trials are temporary. And the second thing we need to remember is we are kept by God. He's holding us. He's shielding us. He's protecting us. He's watching over us. He has never promised to deliver us from every trial. In fact, He has promised the exact opposite. It's a promise we don't like to claim, but it's there. In the world you shall have tribulation, Jesus said in John 16:33. But then He says, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And so we go through trials and tribulations along the way. But God holds us in the palm of His hand. 4 years ago, I was on a missions trip in Ecuador with 13 people from our church in Verndale. Preached that morning in the church there. Wonderful privilege to share. It was Easter Sunday. Spoke using a translator. That afternoon, we went out for a fun time at a park, getting to know the people from that church down there in Ecuador. I thought I was younger than I was. Went out and played some basketball. Slipped on the court. There was some sand on the court. I slipped, dislocated my knee, and my femur bone came down on my tibia and shattered it. We're out in the middle of nowhere. No transportation except for a pickup truck. I got in the back seat of that pickup, drove 45 minutes to a clinic where the doctor looked at me and said, I can't help you. An hour and a half to an Ecuadorian military hospital that looked like a prison. And I'm wondering, am I going to survive this experience? But in the midst of all of that, there was an overwhelming sense of the presence of God. With all of the uncertainty and unknowns and challenges of that experience, God was there. And there was a peace that I don't understand and can't explain. Just knowing that God held me in His hands. No pain medication at that hospital. No IV to hook you up. And, you know, I mean, I talk to people every day at the hospital, and they're so thankful for the pain medications that they receive. When you are experiencing intense pain, you're grateful for those medications to help you. 30 hours from the time of my accident until I got to Quito, to a hospital there that was able to perform the surgery and take care of my leg. Every moment, the awareness of the presence of God. God holds us in His hands. We don't know what this day holds. We don't know what tomorrow holds. But we know who holds us. Almighty God. You're in His hands. And He will see you safely home to your eternal home. As Peter says in this chapter, we are strangers. We're pilgrims just passing through this country. This isn't our citizenship. This isn't our home. It's just a temporary dwelling place. Our home has been prepared for us in heaven. It's waiting for us there. And God will see us safely to that place. The fatherhood of God. Through faith in Jesus Christ, we're adopted into His family. But there's more to follow. The new birth. New creatures in Christ. The old passes away. All our sins forgiven. The righteousness of Christ credited to our account. But there's more to follow. The resurrection of Christ. Because He lives, we too shall live. We have a living hope in Jesus. But there's more to follow. An eternal inheritance that never perishes, spoils, or fades, waiting for us. Excuse me. Even then, there's more to follow. We are kept by the power of God. He holds us. He goes before us, behind us. He surrounds us with His love and care and sees us safely home to that inheritance. Even then, there's more to follow. We have good news. Let's proclaim that message to the people around us. I am amazed the number of people I encounter on a regular basis who have no church, no faith, who live in fear and despair. They desperately need Jesus Christ and the good news that we have to share with them. Ask God to give you opportunities to share with those around you. Pray for open doors. Pray for boldness to proclaim that message. And for each one of you here this morning, remember that note attached, more to follow. Thank God for everything that He's done, all the blessings that He's given to you, but remember, there's always more to follow. Let's stand together for closing prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I am amazed at Your abundant mercy. Thank You for lavishing us with Your love and Your grace. Thank You for the blessings that You've given to us that are not the temporary blessings of this life. They're eternal. They will last forever. They will never be diminished. They will never be lost. As we place our faith in Jesus Christ, they are ours forever. Thank you. Lord, I pray that you would encourage each heart here this morning. Be their strength and their help. Whatever they're facing today, whatever challenges they're experiencing in life, I pray that they would know the keeping power of God. You are holding them in the hollow of your hand. You love them. You're watching over them. And you are their strength and their help. Fill each heart and mind with your peace. I pray that each one here today would have that settled assurance that they would know that they have eternal life through faith in Jesus Christ. Not because of what they have done, but because of what you have done for them. Lord, as we go from here today, I pray that we would go aware of your presence, that we would go in the power of your Holy Spirit, and that you would shine through our lives this coming week, that others would see the reality of Christ in us and be drawn to you as their Lord and Savior. Bless each one. Encourage each heart. Guide our steps. And may it all be for your honor and for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.